Welcome to Career Tools. This week, choosing a company. Our last chapter, have a backup plan. Here we go. Folks, we highly recommend you consider our Effective Interviewing Series podcast. There are 63 casts in the series, 20 of which roughly are private. And for $150, you can learn everything we know about interviewing. Come to the website, look at the testimonials. It'll be hard not to purchase. Thanks. So we've come to the time for our final guidance on choosing a company. I thought it would never end.
Yeah, and you know, I looked at it being chapter 10 and our final guidance and thought, you know, there's more things I want to say. So I don't think it may not be the final one.
Well, I think sometimes the issue of that is we see some guidance that's out there that we can't even imagine someone would say, let alone someone would listen to. And we realize that the way they're seeing, in this case, choosing a company is so off, and it's a website that gets some traffic, that we need to address that, right?
Yeah.
And so oftentimes we feel like we need to have some defensive cast where you say, okay, we're going to say X, but we also mean not Y, not Z, and not double A. And we need to say those things. We were talking the other day about that guidance was on the tell me about yourself answer mm-hmm. interviewing. Was like, well, it wasn't bad. It wasn't, and the guidance was not too short, not too long. And I said, well, okay. What's too short and what's too long?
Exactly.
I mean, to tell people that you're going to give them guidance about timing of an interview answer and it shouldn't be too short or too long is a bit like a bait and switch. And so people are left to their own devices. And because interviewing is a Christmas rule issue, people don't know what to do. And then they say, well, you know, it shouldn't be less than 1 minute. It shouldn't be more than 10. And I'm like, okay, now you're using numbers in order to do the bait and switch. So, yeah. So good. So this is our final guidance. And we've been encouraging people to think about what they're looking for and to find out a lot of stuff in advance.
Yeah.
And that means you'll make less mistakes on a really important career decision.
Yeah.
Right? In fact, when you ask somebody to talk about their career, they'll probably give you a high level of where they worked, as opposed to saying,
yes,
I've been a mechanical engineer for 18 years.
Exactly.
And in this case, we're recommending have a backup plan.
Yeah, just because if you're going to be really picky about the company and that we're encouraging
people to
be picky, right, then your search will probably take longer. And in order for you to get through that period, you have to have a backup plan.
Right.
So we've got have a financial plan, have a plan for your current job, and consider what alternatives will satisfy your needs.
Yeah. Okay, good. So let's talk about financials first, which we've touched on before in other casts, and we probably ought to have 100 casts on it from a professional perspective, because it's amazing to me how much, even though it's more of a personal decision as opposed to a professional decision, it's amazing how connected those things are and how, yeah, when we talk to people, the strain in their voice when they say things about, yeah, I don't have that long. I have 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Good.
So clearly job searching takes money. You need a new suit. You might need to travel to interviews. You'll need a cell phone that's your own and not your company's. And not everybody has that. And a cell phone plan is $30 a month. So you might have to take unpaid time to go to interviews.
Exactly.
You'll be asking people to meet you for lunch and coffee and maybe dinner.
And if you have a budget, which we'd recommend, then suddenly that's not budgeted, or in the first couple of months before you adjust your budget, suddenly you're spending $50 a month on lunches and coffees and so on.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'll be printing resumes, you'll need paper, you'll need ink, you know.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things that you find you need when you're searching for a job. So at a minimum, we're suggesting that you save $500 before you start your search in earnest.
Let's say that differently. It's $500 for all the stuff but the suit. And the suit's going to be another $250, and frankly, probably ought to be $500. And by the way, folks, we're recording this in 2014, so this guidance might change slightly. You may need to apply. If you're listening to this 10 years from now, you may need to apply
Inflation
to that. And in fact, we're interviewing somebody for a technical job in the firm. We're finally going to expand our technical staff, something I've been asking Mike to do for years. And you know, it's somebody we know, and they were worried about whether or not when I was coming to D.C. that I would interview them and they'd have to go buy a new suit. And I said, oh, gosh, no, don't ever tell anybody to buy a new suit in order to interview with me. On the other hand, the guidance here, guys, is if you're not looking right now, what we are telling you with this guidance is start saving now. I joked a couple of years ago in things I think that when I travel, I bought what I called the poor man's latte, which is go to Starbucks And by the way, that's even not a complete, I'm still spending more money than I should on coffee. I can go somewhere else and get a coffee for 50 cents. I go to Starbucks and I order a grande coffee and a venti cup. And the reason why is I then go over to the accessories bar, I don't know what they call it, and I take the half and half and I fill that grande coffee all the way up to the top of the venti and stir it real fast. And it tastes close enough to a latte for me to be fine. And that's $1.50 as opposed to $4.95 or $3.95 or whatever. And of course, our friend Dan McGuire immediately sent a note and said, now I know why all the Starbucks everywhere I go don't have any
never have any half and half. Yeah.
But there's all kinds of things you can do right now that will not affect the quality of your life in a bad way. You won't remember that you didn't have a $5 caramel macchiato with double shots, but you will have saved that money. Mm-hmm. And we don't care how you do it. We don't care if you have a jar at home or a little account. I got to tell you, banks nowadays, there are plenty of banks. I know my bank. I open up another account and just throw some money in there and then say, give it $100 every month so that I have $5,000 in that account in case I need to buy a new washer and dryer. I just say, oh, take it out of that account. And then I'm essentially paying in advance, which means I don't pay any interest.
Yeah.
So, okay, $500. Sorry. Or in my mind, I'm thinking $1,000 just to be sure.
Yeah.
And if you have money left over, lucky.
Yeah.
Take your spouse to dinner and congratulatory, celebratory dinner for the job you got.
Absolutely.
That was wonderful.
Okay? Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And if you're saving ahead of time, the point of saving ahead of time is so that you're not trying to save, look for a job, and know that you're leaving your current job all at the same time.
And feeling the stress of all of them at the same time.
You don't need all that stress.
Yeah.
So, good. In addition, you also need 1 month's salary saved, because if you don't, I have found this to be true in my career. If I didn't, every time I switched jobs, I had to go 8 weeks without salary.
Yeah.
Because of the pay cycle of the new company and the pay cycle of the old company, it was just sod's law every time I went 8 weeks. So
Now we actually say that in layoff immunization, I think what we say is we recommend you all have 6 months of pay set aside, and you obviously interest bearing account, but it has to be readily available cash account. And so that you would consider that as part of that?
No, I'd do another month on top of that.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
I think of that 6 months as an emergency fund.
Yeah.
And there still might be an emergency.
Yeah. Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
Yeah.
I've noticed the same thing. People don't think about it. They get lulled into, I get pay every month.
Mm-hmm.
And then you discover the company pays differently. I remember a number of years ago, this has got to be 25 years ago, that the company I was working for said, we're going to go from paying you biweekly to paying you monthly.
Yeah.
Well, you get paid, you know, in the middle of March and then 2 weeks, and then you get paid in the middle of April 2 weeks. And that 2 weeks pay has to go through all of May.
Yeah.
And I told my bosses, I said, you know, this is going to be really painful for some people. You know, I have some money, but it's going to be painful. They're like, well, you know, it's expensive. We pay payroll costs for this stuff. I'm like, okay, as long as it's easier for you and harder for your employees, great, lucky, good.
Yeah.
And that it makes a difference.
Yeah, we did the same thing, and we were allowed to borrow some, and then you had to pay it back over a period of time.
Right.
And I remember paying that back forever.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why at Manager Tools, we're a small company. Folks, if you don't know this, your company pays you at the end of the month. You're not going to like this. This is no fun to hear, but when you hear it, you'll understand it's true. Your company pays you at the end of the month because they don't trust you. The reason companies pay at the end of the month is if they pay at the beginning of the month, people will come. In the old days, before there were significant hiring processes, everybody was just labor as opposed to owners, and the owners were paying the labor, and the laborers weren't to be trusted, thus in unions and all kinds of other things. And so you had to show up for a month before you got your pay. At Manager Tools, we do the opposite. We only hire people we trust, so therefore you get paid on the first of the month. And I remember, in fact, somebody just recently we hired, and they were astounded. What, I get paid at the front? And yes, absolutely, you do. We trust you. We know you'll be here. And the beauty of that for us is, of course, is if they leave in the middle of the month, they get a two-week severance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not that anybody leaves, I guess. But they get a two-week severance, and the problem is then, though, that then they'll have to wait.
Absolutely.
They'll have to wait.
At least 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good. Okay.
That makes us all stay at Managed Tools. That's the only thing that's keeping us here, of course.
Oh, I just stepped into that one.
Yeah. Okay. So the second thing is have a plan for your current job. And this, I was thinking, if you're prepared to wait for the right role, you've got to stay for a while, and maybe a long while, in a job that you've already decided you want to leave,
yes,
for whatever reason.
And that decision and doing it right and making the right decision, the way you described that made this bomb go off in my head, which is, yeah, people decide they're going to leave and then they start really working hard to leave.
Yep.
And they have to work so hard at leaving, they take their off the ball where they are.
Completely,
and then 6 months
out.
Later, they haven't done a good job. And now suddenly they have tension at work on top of the tension of the search that's not going well. Really bad. Whereas, guys, just decide it's going to take you a while. And by being strategic and a little bit philosophical and a little bit relaxed about it, you'll end up being able to keep yourself in good standing at work. And you won't feel like, I should have had a job by now, mm-hmm, after 3 months. We ought to send out, a number of years ago, and I worked with clients who were too tightly wound, I used to send out finger puzzles. The ones you stick your fingers in either side, they're knitted usually out of palm-like natural fibers. And they're woven such that you put your fingers in either end, and when you pull, your fingers won't come out. And the only way you can get your fingers out is to relax a little bit, right? And I used to give that to very tightly wound executives. We could do that for everybody here and say, look, don't press,
yep,
okay? If you think the job search will take 3 months, plan on it taking a year. When you get a wonderful opportunity, great, you'll be well prepared. But the big thing you're gonna do in your transition is the decision about where you're going to go. And if you try to do it too fast, or if you feel pressure, you're going to make a decision based on that pressure rather than on the long term, the long wave of your career.
Absolutely.
Rather than on the short wave of how pissed off you are at your boss right now.
And we've just spent 9 casts telling you these are all the factors,
yeah,
you're going to consider, and then you snap because,
yeah,
you're annoyed with your boss. You just threw that whole stuff,
yeah,
out the window, so there's,
yeah,
no point. So yeah, we know someone who was looking for his next role for 2.5 or 3 years by my calculations,
yeah,
and has finally switched jobs.
And is delighted.
And is absolutely, yeah, happy. But if you're going to stay in a job that long,
I don't know that I've told him. I just talked to him the other day. I'm not sure that I ever asked him about the experience he had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I remember something to the effect of, way better. You know, there were moments when I wanted an offer and didn't get it, or, right, I was worried about something, but fundamentally, the timing turned out really, really well for him. So,
yeah.
Good.
He ended up in a great place. Yeah, and for most people, it's probably not going to be that long, but you do need a plan so that you don't check out. So,
yeah,
for instance, if it's your boss that's driving you insane, assume you're going to have to stay for another 18 months. What,
yeah,
are you going to do to stop him driving you mad? If it's money that you're moving for, how can you live on what you're on or derive extra income if you have to stay another 18 months?
Yeah.
If you feel stagnant, if you feel like you're not growing, what,
yeah,
can you do outside of work to keep learning and growing? If it's responsibility that you're hitting a ceiling and you're frustrated by that, what can you do? What can you volunteer for outside of work to get the kind of experience and responsibility that you want, or even inside of work if you volunteer,
right,
to go on a project or whatever? So it's about finding things to, yeah, mitigate those frustrations while you're in your search.
Let me say something else. We don't have a bullet on this, but I think it's important. I see this in probably 30 to 40% of the cases of people that ask me for guidance about the transition they're going through. Their spouse has been left uninformed. So spouse, significant other, life partner, whomever that is, even significant boyfriend, girlfriend, guys, you've got to talk to your spouse. We have one of the lists of podcasts that we've got to do at some point is trailing spouse communications.
Mm-hmm.
We've touched on it before. I'm amazed at people who, when they get terminated, when they get fired, or when they think about making a change, they're like, well, it's my career, so it's my choice. And yeah, maybe you're right. And maybe you're the sole breadwinner. And let's say your spouse is a stay-at-home dad or a stay-at-home mom, and maybe they don't have the experience in your field. Look, if you're a creative designer and your significant other has decided to stay home to take care of your kids, and he's an accountant, he's probably not going to be super useful to you regarding the career choices of a creative designer, okay? But he can be deleterious in terms of emotional support. Sit down. Go through these, I mean, it sounds corny, but go through the podcast and say, here are the things I'm thinking about doing. Here's my plan. And even if you're a high eye, guys, even if you're a creative, artsy, happy, easygoing, can't keep a clean desk.
I'll meet someone. It'll be fine.
Shiny, new, fancy. Look at the new shoes I just got. Even if you're that person, having a list, particularly if your spouse is a list maker and saying, here's what we're going to do. And it's going to take a while. And I want to talk to you about it. And you're going to hear everything I do, everything I get, because I'm not going to be using my work email. You're going to be able to surely, husbands and wives, spouses, share home email accounts or something. And they're going to be able to see the kind of emails you get and so on. Communicate with your spouse what the plan is, how long you have, why you're changing your behavior about Starbucks or about anything else, why you need $50 more in the bank account to do lunches and so on. It may be a little bit more work now, but it's a bit like investing a little bit every day for your retirement. It'll make your retirement a lot easier. It'll make the actual job thing much better. I'll tell you one of the things that I see as a meme in situations like this. The person who doesn't communicate with their spouse, when they bring them an offer, the fact that it's the offer you want can be moot to the other person because they weren't included, and they will push back. They will find something to push back on against the offer you want because they were left out. And these are not needy, emotionally weak people, guys. These are effective, intelligent people who are learning too little, too late, and are trying to apply to make some decisions. But at some level, I believe it happens so much in my experience, the conversation goes poorly, and then the bloom is off the rose about the offer in such a way that it's not a good conversation. You're buying a healthy, relaxed, intelligent conversation about a very important job decision, right? A career decision, mm-hmm. which is which company you're going to go to work for.
Yeah. And we interviewed somebody this week about a job that had considerable travel.
Right.
And one of the questions I asked was, how will that affect your family situation? And the reply was, we've already discussed it. We've talked about this. Right now it's not a deal breaker, but we're going to continue to talk about it. And that actually gave me a lot of comfort as the interviewer. I was like, okay, so the family is on board. Excellent.
Right. Yeah. And not just on board about us, but they have healthy family systematic communication, right? Which is a good thing. Whereas if somebody said to me, I'm interviewing, it's my decision. I'm like, okay,
they're
going to be moments. I can see that coming 5 years from now. Yeah, good. So sorry, guys, that's not a bullet. Maybe it's just because I'm older. Maybe it's because I've been married.
I don't know.
Okay, and lastly, you said, consider what alternatives will satisfy your needs.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we talked about analyzing offers, and we looked at assessing the offers against the criteria you set.
Way back at the beginning.
And part of the reason you want to set the criteria early is it helps you assess the offers with clarity rather than get it swept away with like the excitement and, oh, I met this great guy and they're going to pay me this and blah, blah, blah. If the job doesn't fit the criteria or the company doesn't fit the criteria, or you find that you're looking and there's never anything that fits your criteria, there are other ways to satisfy the needs that you have. So for instance, if I said your number one requirement was a shorter commute, well, you can find a job that's closer to your home, but there's also a bunch of other ways that you could make your life easier. So these were the ones I brainstormed. So move, rent a house nearer and rent yours out, move halfway so that you and your kids share the commute time, live in a different city Monday to Friday and come home for the weekend.
Yeah, and people are like, wow, I can't believe you'd suggest that. Well,
it's just doable.
We're just putting options out there, guys. Yeah.
Use public transport so that your commute is productive and your time at home is really time at home. Car share with someone and trade off the driving. Time shift your hours to avoid traffic. Have your kids do their activities in the town where you work rather than where you live. Talk to your boss about working from home, even part-time. Start your own business on the side so that one day you'll be your own boss.
Yeah.
What I want to encourage people is not to feel trapped by saying, I want a shorter commute, and that means I have to find a job or a company that is within 5 miles of my house.
Yeah.
Because you can find other ways to get the shorter commute without necessarily. If you've exhausted everything within 5 miles of your house, then there are other things.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things. And guys, if you're wondering how to handle the particular issue you have, come to the forums. Gee whiz. Ask a couple hundred managers who are there almost every day, what are you guys thinking? People are afraid to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes they're afraid to ask me a question or to ask the other members. You can always do it anonymously. We're not going to know who you are.
Yeah. And don't worry, whatever however stupid your question is, we've had a stupid one.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, just go to the internet and look for career advice.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Good. So wrap us up.
Okay. So have a financial plan, have a plan for your current job, and consider what alternatives will satisfy your needs.
And the hidden one, the stealth one was...
Talk to your spouse.
Talk to your significant other.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And there are never no jobs. When people say there are no jobs, that really irritates me. There are never no jobs. People leave the workforce all the time for all sorts of reasons. For family reasons, for they win the lottery and they don't need a job. Yeah. You know, there's all sorts of good and bad reasons for leaving.
Let me give you an interesting aside. I had a situation recently where somebody said to me, yeah, I'm worried about my career upward path and so on. And recently a peer of her boss left the company to go do something. I think she went to a research university or something. She's quite bright, very impressive person. And the comment the person made was, I wonder what they're going to do with her job.
What the?
And here's the thing. There was an immediate assumption that the job was owned by the company. And so therefore there was an immediate diminution of the person's ability to potentially apply for it. There's this mentality of, what are they going to do with that job?
The company
knows best. As opposed to saying, there's an opening for me.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I think, sorry, that we're wrapping up here, but I think that happens a lot, and people are waiting for the company to advertise rather than saying, going to your boss immediately and saying, hey, your peer just left. I think this is the opportunity. Let's talk about that. Yeah. Anyway.
Absolutely.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so, even so, if you're picky, which we encourage you to be, your job search could last 18 months or 2 years. So preparing for it to last that long gives you a really strong basis for going ahead and minimizing the amount of stress you have. And if it lasts that long, then it lasts that long. And if it's only a month, then you've got a bunch of benefits.
Yeah, exactly. And it's more likely to go quickly when you're relaxed about it.
That is.
If you start getting tight, that comes across. Those of us who interview all the time, we see that coming a mile away and we go, why is there energy here? Why is there negative energy? Why is there tension? I want to explore that.
Desperation is never attractive.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We interviewed somebody once and it took us 6 hours to get to the tell me about yourself answer. And at the end, we didn't need to do any more interviewing. And it was just like, oh, this is not, you know, it's not going to work out for us. Well, good. That's the end of the series on choosing a company to work for.
At least for now.
Yeah, at least for now. Good. Good. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the series. Recommend to your friends who are thinking about making a transition. We have 10 casts on the subject, and as you know, they're always free.